I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scantling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 41, Liberty League Action at beautiful Canton, St. Lawrence. It's going to be a terrific day on Saturday. That's not always the case there. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesmen, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
So it's always nice when you have a brand new quarterback starting to have him take the field up 7-0, thanks to Mike McGee.
Yeah, it was the defense spotted him a 7 spot with a pick 6, and just really a strong start for the team, strong start for the defense, and then took a little bit of maybe some of the pressure off of True just having that 7-0 lead before he took the first snap.
And we talked about it. When you look at a backup quarterback stats, usually he's coming in when you're killing the clock, so he's only going to throw if it's 3rd and 10 and the run doesn't go anywhere. So you kind of had to throw those numbers out the window, and we got to look at what True Styles can do. What a fantastic game he had.
Yeah, I think it was really good to see, because if you think about when he came in at that point in the game against Ithaca, his first couple series for him, he was just kind of getting his feet wet. He missed a couple throws, missed a couple reads. His footwork was there. And it's just like any good quarterback, the more you get in the flow of the game, the more confidence, the more he sees it. You know, you try to give scout team looks and you try to emulate the defense you're going to see as best as possible. And I think our scout guys did a fantastic job doing that, but it's never the same until you get out there and see it. So similar even in this game, I thought his first series or two, he missed a couple things. He made a couple of really good plays as well. But like once we started to really talk through it on the sidelines, settle him down, I think he got better and better as the game went on. So that's both the game where he came in midway and the full start that he had. That was a good sign to see that each time he got better as the game went on. And honestly, like players around him had to make some plays too. And I think that's what we try to do, is never feel like it's always on just him. When Johnny was the quarterback, we needed guys around him, and that's always the case. And, you know, so we talked about it. It's got to be a team effort in terms of the defense went out and did well. Special teams made a couple plays when they needed to, and then ultimately the offense, the O-line, the tight ends, the running backs, the wide receivers all got to pull their weight just to make sure that, you know, teams are going to come in knowing it's still a young quarterback, even though he's got a start under his belt, that they're going to try to, you know, force him to make more plays than maybe a senior quarterback at that point.
I love to see when a mobile quarterback doesn't get happy feet. He can certainly run, but there was one pass in particular I remember where he really hung in the pocket and delivered a strike down the middle. He doesn't just take a quick look and then run.
Yeah, and that actually happened in the first series. He actually stepped out of the pocket, and then one sack that we took was probably, you know, his eyes probably should have been in a different spot. He missed it. We watched it on video. But I think we talked through it on the sideline. He is athletic. I mean, that's the one thing. All of our quarterbacks are able to run. They're mobile. We think that's an important part of the quarterback positions. And but we want them to be, like you said, athletic, mobile quarterbacks, not running quarterbacks, meaning like choose your spots when you need to. A lot of the rushing yards that our quarterbacks are going to get are not necessarily designed calls. They're going to be based off of what defense is giving them, or, you know, rush lane integrity, those type of things. But, I was pleased with his progression there, and I think Buff State's D-line was good, and they blitzed the linebackers. They were really attacking us, and they had a game plan to basically say rush 6 and make the quarterback have to beat you. And, you know, we clearly missed some things offensively that I thought, looking back on it, and I think True will be a game older, a game wiser by watching and seeing that there were some things open in the flat and some different throws that he missed. But that being said, I was just pleased with his competitiveness, his poise, and like you said, not just he trusted the protection. And he took a couple hits along with it, and I think that earns the respect of the O-line and tight ends, knowing that, you know, both he and Johnny have taken hits and they don't complain about it. They get up and on the next play.
He did slide down a couple of times. Have you told your quarterbacks that it's not worth 2 extra yards to lose somebody, especially when you're down 1 already?
Yeah, it's funny. We actually talked about that yesterday in the quarterback meeting. The slide, it's interesting. That's like supposedly giving yourself up. And honestly, like I've seen more quarterbacks get injured that way. Unless you're a baseball player and know how to slide, we don't teach it. It's about knowing when to take on the big hits. You know, it's a 3rd and 4th down. You got to take on a linebacker and there's someone else lined up. Sometimes you need to do that. But I told our guys, just be smart, be an athlete. Like, I never want to make them hesitant or tentative. I played that position myself, and I was one of those guys that, I'm not saying I sought out contact, but I wasn't afraid of it. And I think our quarterbacks are I want to teach them the game and the situations to know when to do it, when not to. And there was a couple times, there was a first down he got later in the game where he got the yards and got out of bounds. Like, you know, there's going to be times where we're going to need to have them, you know, finish forward and take on it. And just like everyone that handles the ball in our offense, we want them to finish forward. But yeah, I do want him to be smart, and Obviously, Jeremy Weiss was ready to come in, and he had an opportunity there in the third quarter. So, literally, the next guy up, we coach it the same, whether it's our number one, number two, number three, all the way down to our last quarterback. And I think the idea is to have them, what are they comfortable with? What do they feel? And if someone feels comfortable sliding, that's fine. But I also want to make sure that we're not giving up 3 or 4 yards, based on the call, just giving it up if we can finish forward and get a first down or whatever we need in that situation.
Drew Stiles' first career touchdown pass was set up by special teams. We all wondered what Vicente Line would do after the Ithaca game. He had one punt all day from the 41, puts it out at the 2. They slice a 16-yarder, short field, touchdown.
Yeah, it really was, and it's amazing how that works, and it's happened a handful of times this year, and hopefully the trend keeps going. Is there's, we're always trying to play aggressive, but we're also playing smart. Like our defense, if we give them a long field, if they can get off the field, our punt block unit's pretty aggressive, and all of a sudden we get a short field, and ultimately capitalize. So, yeah, the 7-0 lead for the pick six by the defense, and then the short field set us up to a 14-0 situation. And I think at that point, we hadn't really played great on offense, but the short field helped us get in and capitalize to get that 2-score lead.
And a beautifully thrown ball to Johnny Harding. Nice touch pass over the defense, back in the end zone.
Yeah, the thing I look at it is I wasn't pleased overall with just a couple of the negative plays that we took on offense. We had a couple of bad snaps, the center quarterback exchange. We were able to overcome a couple of them, so it didn't feel quite as bad, but like that forced us into a field goal attempt where we missed the one. And then ultimately, we talked about True's decision right before half, unfortunately throwing the interception where I thought he forced that in, where we could have gotten points, opportunities there. And then coming out the gate, the two times we put the ball on the ground, one is the returner, one is the running back. Those are things we hadn't done a ton up to that point. And honestly, that kind of kept Buff State in the game at that point. And just really, you could just feel the momentum on our side just kind of, there was a lull. And we just went back and, we had to catch their attention a little bit on just take care of the things we can take care of. But that was the area that I didn't think. And again, we haven't played a full 60-minute game yet. There was that middle lull. And again, our defense had their back to the wall. They got some key stops. But I just thought special teams and offense kind of, had some plays that were, like I said, uncharacteristic of us.
We were talking at the beginning of the season about watching the young wide receiver group develop. Johnny Harding has turned into a real number one target.
Yeah, he is. He's got the chance to be really good. And I think what I like about him is, like, every day he's still finding ways. He's still naturally athletic, but is really curious and wants to know how to get better. And I love coaching guys that just have that instinctive feel that, like, they're not content where they're at. They want to get better. He's pretty good, whether it's a short screen or down the field. And, people look at him, he's not the biggest guy, but he plays much bigger than that. And he's got elite level quickness and shiftiness. So, he's a guy that obviously we want to get some touches in our offense. And really the outside receivers had some opportunities in the game. I thought like that our one weak and one strong receivers on the outside had some opportunities. I think that those are some of the throws that, True will see. And he had a couple that were in their hands, they dropped. And then there's some other ones where I think we missed. But, again, spreading the entire field, making them defend the 53 and a third yards. And really, if we can continue to do that, then it opens up the running game. And just really want to be able to complement one another. And I think at times that's how we've been playing our best ball on offense, is that it's been a pretty healthy mix of run, pass, short, long, wide, from sideline to sideline, sometimes in the inside. And I think that's where the involvement, you go way back to when you think about what we were against Alfred. I don't think we were crisp enough on offense against Buff State, but we've shown now the ability to attack the entire field.
It's great to have guys who can get yards after the catch. Two of the three touchdown passes were just short flips. E.J. Taylor turns one into a big run after catch, and then Harding with the other one. That really opens up your passing game when you can say, hey, just flip the 5-yarder out there and let him go.
Yeah, well, coming into the game, Buff State's defense was super aggressive. And those D linemen, they pin their ears and go. So we thought it would be a good day for our screen game. And you think about a couple of the third down conversions, a couple of the touchdowns. Our efficiency on screens was pretty solid. And I think that goes to the timing. And I thought Coach Murphy did a really good work with the O-line last week. And then Coach Craig with the running backs, and Coach Williams with the receivers, and even the tight ends were involved, Coach McDonough there. So I look at it as it's a group event. Those were some high percentage completions for True as well. So you think about a quarterback in his first start here, is really tying in. Yeah, we were going to take some shots downfield, but if you look at most of his throws, they weren't downfield. They were really higher percentage throws. we went in. I actually thought, minus a couple of the drops and a couple of the reads or the throwaways, you know, he should have been close to 80-85% completion percentage for a first-time starting quarterback. That's pretty good, and that's what we were trying to do, is get him some high-percentage throws.
E.J. Taylor has had games of 99, 99, and 95 this year. Can we get him on the all-unsung all-star team?
And that's the unfortunate part. Like, obviously, in game, I don't know that. You know, I would love to get him over the 100, and I know he got it in the first game. And he knew there was a couple plays he wanted back, but he continues to run hard. And I think, like, he's one of those guys that just the more and more touches he gets, sometimes as long as we can keep him healthy and fresh, and we have a good group. I think now we have four or five running backs that, you know, earlier in the season necessarily weren't all healthy. Now we're, if we can keep that health going, that's going to give us the ability to keep him fresh. But, like, he is he's a tough man to bring down at 215 pounds, and he has good quickness for a guy his size.
You've had a lot of guys coming in and out of the offensive line, but I think that group's coming together. I thought that was one of the better run blocking games I've seen.
Yeah, and a lot of it was the movement. We keep going back to, like, obviously we want to do certain schemes, but the Buff State was doing some things that was different than some other teams we face, and just a lot of their D linemen and or linebackers were like double gap movements. So, like, there was a couple plays where we took some negative plays. We want to counter that, obviously, with some bigger plays. But, you know, I thought there was a couple clips we really showed where the O-line showed the cohesiveness of putting four or five guys on the same page, and those were some of our better zone block schemes right there. So it'll be an opportunity where I think there was now – we played 8, 9 into 10 offensive linemen there on Saturday. So every rep, every play is good experience for those guys. And, again, trying to keep them fresh. And at this point in the season, I know the bodies are starting to, you know, wear and tear a little bit. But if we can go as deep as we want to be, that's going to be a huge part as we move not only for this week but to finish the season out strong.
We talk a lot about the effect of special teams on a game, and here was another one. I mean, they had one kickoff return that got away, but for the most part – you had Johnny Harding return a couple of punts for 22 yards. Toby's kicking off deep, and for some reason, don't tell anybody, but teams are still trying to bring him out instead of taking the fair catch. So, I mean, you're getting great punting. You cover well in kickoffs, and that's worth yardage and ultimately points.
Yeah, I thought the last 2 weeks in particular, John Harding's done a fantastic job of fielding punts. We saw earlier in the season, and a couple of the punters did a good job keeping away, but, like, We look at, for every time we punt versus every time we get a punt return, like, where are we gaining the yards, hopefully, versus, and that same thing for every kickoff return versus every kickoff cover. And if we can go head-to-head, and if you look at over the course of a game, are we gaining 75, 100, 150 yards, that's substantial. So, yeah, every single play, and, you know, you ask the specialists, I'm talking about them, because there's still a couple plays we want back, you know, but I really am pleased with the attention to detail from our entire staff, our entire team, on week to week. We know we haven't been perfect, nor do we. You know, we always say we never were going to be perfect, but we're chasing it to be as crisp as we can be. When we're sound in special teams, we think that that's going to be a huge advantage for us week in and week out. And not just those huge momentum plays, but it's, like you said, the hidden yards, the field position, that honestly I can go through every single game where that came into fruition, whether that goes back to week one in the Alfred game all the way through to last week against Buff State. I'm just a firm believer, and our staff and our team understands the hidden yards, the field position, and what does that mean in terms of ultimately trying to find the best way for our team to win.
When you talk about fielding punts, we used to talk about this a lot when Sean Cunningham was running back punts, not just the yardage you get on the return, but the yardage you save by grabbing one of those punts that could turn into a 30-yard roller.
And that's what hurt us, in particular the Moravian game. That punter was doing a good job, and we lost yardage in that. And that, in the second half, we started to change that around. But that was one of the reasons why it was such a low-scoring first half, is we had long fields. And I think we explained it, and John knew that, but John Harden's done a really good job, I thought, the last couple. Not only, like you said, getting a couple first downs on his own, but like you said, that's saving two or three first downs that the offense doesn't have to get. And teams are going to defend us differently if they have to defend 80 yards versus if they have to defend 60 to 50, and vice versa. You know, talk about that big play. I thought Vicente's punt, you know, it was their first possession. You know, granted, we're up 7-0, but, like, that goes in the end zone. That's an easy touchback. But to pin it down, good coverage by the guys to get it down, and all of a sudden now an offense is backed up with 98 yards to go. that can be a different feel for just trying to get out of there. And as you said, we ultimately got the short field because of it. So tip my hat off to our players. You know, we coach them hard during the week, and then we really want to let them go out and play relaxed, but play confident on the weekends. And that's what I would love, is seeing the energy and the focus of our special team guys, understanding that play is, and we say it, like, there's some guys, and there's a reason why one of our captains every single week is our special team captain, because it could be a first year, it could be a senior. Those plays matter just as much as a starting offense or defensive player.
Those linebackers are flying around like always, but at the beginning of the game, every single play, it was like, tackle by Giordano. I mean, he's not even a number one, and he's just in there making plays.
Yeah, he is our number one, and in the sense of we play those five linebackers so much that it's tough, and I always say, like, that's what it comes down to. He's a starter in our eyes. Yeah, he was our defensive player of the game, and he's been playing well, but I thought in that game too, just his physicality, that's one of his best traits, is that he'll play hard, he plays aggressive, and he had to come out. You know, there's a couple of times where he had to regroup, but I tell you what, he played hard, he played physical, and when our linebackers, again, they're the secret sauce of what makes our defense go. I guess it's not that secret anymore, but like in the sense of, like, we go as far as they go, and you think about Mike McGee with the pick six, you think about some key plays, and you know, one week it's one guy, one week it's another. They're all going to be sound, but like, it's going to depend on how teams want to attack us. But we feel like we have strength from 5-6 strong at the linebacker crew right now.
And we've been saying for years that your secondary dictates what you can do with the linebackers. If you can trust those guys in one-on-one deep coverage, then those linebackers can pin their ears back. And we've seen that. Toomba, Ambielli, Smith, Zeeshan Dixon. Those guys are just in great position on deep balls, and they've been breaking up a lot of passes.
Yeah, and you think about it, like, those guys, they all had experience. Z had a little bit more in the most recently in the spring before he gets into his sophomore year, but you know, a lot of those guys were, you know, maybe heard of secondary to some of the guys who graduated last year. And I think that's the tribute to hopefully our depth, our development, and our recruiting process, is that we knew those guys could play. I mean, Chris Toomba has been playing since his sophomore year, but because we were rotating guys through, getting that experience, I mean, he's come out and, you know, he's been, we talked about the last couple of games, played really, really well. I mean, Zeeshan's been playing solid. You know, Alex Smith and Ambielli are much stronger than any of them were last year. So those four guys have been consistent, and hopefully they can continue to stay healthy. And the best thing about them is that we've bought some time where now the younger guys behind them have now gained some depth. You're starting to see some younger guys in the mix that, you know, now here in the middle of the season have gotten some game experience. So so that was the thing. I think early in the season, I don't know if our depth was as proven. Even if it hasn't been proven to others, it's been more proven inside that we can now mix in some nickel and dime packages and different things where we're going to bring extra DBs in. And those guys have performed well. I mean, if you look at two of the guys, Corey Rock and Ryan Van Tassel, that with some interceptions, this because they've been targeted, but that's partly because they're trying not to go against some of the starters. So that's where stats-wise, it's great, productivity, but more importantly, however teams want to attack us, and this week we're going to face a team that's going to throw a lot more. We're going to need that group that you just said is going to have to perform pretty well for us.
New name in the two deep this week at the defensive end. Perry Goodridge is backing up Williams Molitor. He's a first year from Hamilton, Mass, and a legacy. His grandfather and father both went to Hobart. Tell us about him.
Absolutely. Yeah, the family connection runs deep in the Goodridge family. We were excited when we were able to recruit and commit Perry here. Just like a lot of the other first years, a ton of promise. We're excited about him. You know, showed flashes of it in preseason, showed flashes of it early in the season, is starting to play a little bit more consistently. And just with some of the injuries and some of the things that have happened, transpired for us up front, we're going to continue to need young guys through, and he's made the most of his opportunities, and hopefully he'll continue to go. And I think this could be a good game for him to go out and showcase himself a little bit.
I haven't heard anything about the wind forecast for St. Lawrence, because we were talking about this last week in Buffalo, and it's the same thing. We go to St. Lawrence sometimes, and the punts are going 70 yards one way and 10 the other. But we know it's going to be nice and sunny. St. Lawrence Saints, Daniel Lawther, veteran quarterback. He's got great numbers, and that's with absolutely zero running game whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the toughest part, and I have a lot of respect for Danny. I obviously recruited him out of high school, a local guy coming from the Rochester area. Tough competitor. He's got a ton of experience. He's overcome injuries. He is by far a key leader and component for him. They are definitely a pass first, run second. Now, they will try to run it, especially early on. And I think that's going to be something important for our defense. The years that the game has stayed close, or if they've had the lead, they've been a little bit more patient in the run. But they're getting a lot of their productivity and percentage a little bit more in the pass right now. And they have some weapons. They're going to be spreading it and chucking it around. And like I said, it's going to be similar probably to a Moravian game plan for us where we go. It's probably one of the first teams we're going to face since Moravian that's a pass first, run second type of team.
And Will Lederman, their top running back, is a decent back. I'm not sure. They just haven't been using him that much this year and just hasn't had great success in the run. And like you say, too, it depends on score and situation. You fall behind in a game early and you're not going to be able to run.
Yeah, what's interesting about him, he was the starting quarterback last year. So talk about an athlete, the versatile. We got to keep an eye on that he can still throw. He's a very good runner. He was a running quarterback last year that has the ability to throw. So now obviously they're putting their best athletes on the field. I think he's a solid player, a solid running back, and like I said, still has that knowledge and experience at the quarterback position. And I think that if you look at it, for the most part, they've been in and really competitive on teams early on and then only really then turn heavy pass when the game dictates it if they fall behind. But, you know, the comeback win that they had, they were down 24-10 against Union and end up winning in overtime. But they were right there tied at halftime 10-10. You know, they were up on RPI last week. So the last two games, they've been pretty good. They were up on Western New England. So I think this is a team that you're going to get their best stuff early on. I think they're very competitive, jumping out the gate. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like Keystone, who was always ahead of their opponents for the most part. So we expect, and then every time we've played up there, it's always a dogfight. You know, you mentioned the win a couple times. We played in some games where, like, no one could score going in the other direction. You know, we think about that in our kicking game and our throwing game. So we never know what we're going to get up there, whether that's October or November. I've seen it all, I think, from my years going up there. We've seen snow on the ground to where it's been, you know, 75 and sunny. So we'll see what it's going to be. But it usually plays into the throwing game a little bit and obviously from a kicking game if the wind is coming across the field like it normally does.
It seems like in a lot of the games with St. Lawrence, it's been a game of big plays. They always have some big play athletes. They had the kid a few years back that played both offense and defense and ran kicks back. So this might be a game to see who has the most 40-yard plays.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to a lot of things in the sense that as much as they're throwing it, can we defend those 50-50 balls? Like we saw a couple times against Randolph-Macon, that was the difference in that game is some of those 50-50 type balls. And just the way we played them in the past, like they have good receivers. He's going to throw them, like Danny's going to throw them into situations where they can go make those high point balls. They have a couple guys that can go up and get it. They're targeting their tight end a bunch. They all can run really well. So like you said, we got to do a really good job, not just defending the pass, but making sure that we limit any type of catches, so no run after the catch as best as possible. But again, they've scored and been productive on every team they faced early. So I think this is a game similar to what we talked about with True, getting in the flow of the game, playing as the game gets better. That's also true with our defense a little bit, is sometimes sizing up. As best as our look squad has tried to go out and emulate St. Lawrence's offense, you know, they got to go out there and eye up their O-line, their protections, the speed, the decision-making, and the throwing. And ultimately, we got to tackle well. That's the thing I looked at when we played them 2 years ago and even last year. Our defense tackled much better than maybe some of the games in the past because a lot of their game is going to be quick game or underneath stuff, and then can they get the run after the catch, whether that's to a running back, to a tight end, or to a receiver. And then they've also run the quarterback in the past, and that's one of the things that Danny Law, their quarterback, can do is he's versatile enough where, like, down last week against RPI, they're running quarterback power to help go score. Like, he's a big, strong guy with experience, and this is going to be a big game for them because I know that they're going to come out guns a-blazing, doing everything they can to jump on us and try to win at home.
Your defense is now number 6 in the nation and scoring fewest points allowed, and you've even said that they're not perfect. I mean, they haven't made every play this year, but when it counts the most, I mean, can you coach that or can Coach Green coach that, or is that just pure heart when your defense says, okay, you're inside our 5, you're not going anywhere?
No, absolutely. I think it's a testament to both. First and foremost, I give all the credit to our players. Like, we, from who we recruit, most importantly, then while they're here, how we're going to cultivate and develop them. The mindset is we're going to be aggressive on defense. We're going to be aggressive in all three phases, but we run an aggressive style of defense, but it's a situation where you're going to have to earn every inch. And I think some defenses are prone to give up the big play. So far, we haven't. Now, obviously, we've given up some plays. We've missed some tackles. We've missed some of those balls. But I think the knack right now in the scoring thing is that some teams are trying to go for 7 and not 3. And that helps because our defense has gotten some stops. But like that's where stats are showing the whole story. But there's some things that are missing. And I look at it as it's no different for us on offense or special teams. We talked about it. We're playing really well at times in all those phases, but we're really coaching our guys up. Like, we, the good news for our fans and our families, we have not played a complete game yet. So the good news is we're at a, we're a solid team. I think we've gotten better each week, and that's what we talk about, is incremental growth and finding those ways to improve. But the fun part about it, and I said this to the defense, like, we're still missing some things, and that's the good thing. Like, you don't want to go out and say, hey, that was our best, and everything's downhill from here. And they're playing with great effort. And so Coach Green and the staff, they're talking about it. They're preparing us for this situation. So, you know, they didn't flinch when our this opening kickoff, we fumble, and it's a short field. Guess what? So what? Now what? Now we're back to where we were. And really, really good defenses say you're going to have to earn it. And they didn't kick the field goal. They got the stop. Offense goes. Unfortunately, they gave them another short field. And that was the only 3 points they got. They settled for the field goal. But, like, if our defense can be that type of resilient as they kind of get their back against the wall and keep teams from getting seven, once in a while settle for the field goal or get the stops, that's why they're the scoring defense that they are now. And I think it's, you know, we've talked to coaches against us, and they're still going to have to make decisions on, do they go for it? Do they kick the field goal? A lot of that early in the game depends on, like, you know, how high of a scoring game is it going to be? And do they trust their offense getting back down there? And I think it also comes into play where if our offense can get a lead with offense, defense, special teams like we did, then it sometimes forces teams to have to go for seven versus getting the 3 points. And again, it's always a good situation to try to have the lead for our defense and let them have to kind of maneuver how to, the other offenses will try to attack them.
One last thing, if it is a close game, Clayton Fogler, their field goal kicker, is 5 for 5, and that's probably one of the worst places to kick in all of D3 football.
Yeah, it's a stat line that's really impressive. I brought that up to our field goal kickers yesterday. I still think our percentage can be higher for what we're asking, so we're continuing to push in that one. But push comes to shove, it's going to come down to some of those other close games we've been in, is who's scoring in the score zone. We talked about tackling and the big play capabilities, but it's also going to be like who can get the key stops and who can score when you're down in the score zone.
All right, you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, be that Apple or Google or Spotify or wherever, and you'll also find it and all your sports information at hwsathletics.com. 1 o'clock kickoff Saturday at St. Lawrence on WEOS. Coach, thanks as always.
Thank you, Ted.